Welcome to the Rhema Worship Center Sermons Podcast. We're here to help you know God, walk in freedom, serve others, and equip leaders. Our sermons are preached by Anthony Bauman, our senior pastor, or by one of our ministers or guest speakers. Each week, we'll provide spiritual guidance and insight that will help you to journey closer with the Lord. So join us today and be a part of something special, a community of faith, hope, and love.
I thought my first sermon being associate pastor would be much different than this. And I got it Monday, and it's been hard all week because it's been bubbling. When you get a sermon that early, it's like time slows down because you just want to get it out. But I know this is perfect timing for the Lord. Even though there's just a few of us here this morning, encourage people to listen to this because this is for the future of this church. And if you don't mind, to turn to the book of Judges 16. Me and the pastor has a big time aggravating each other on how long we preach and stuff, but it's kind of an inside joke, but he don't preach that long. I'm glad too. You'll have to ask him about that later. I'm going to try to be short because at the end of this thing, I want us to all come up here and stand and pray. And you'll see why once I get into this sermon. So in the book of Judges, chapter 16, verses 3. Let's just get straight to business. The book of Judges, chapter 16, verse 3. Let's stand as we are accustomed to stand in, and as I read the word of the Lord, I'm not going to read much, and then you can sit back down. Here in chapter 16, verses 3, remember before I read that Samson was in a mess. Just like we get in from time to time, right? And I'm going to begin reading here. And Samson lay till midnight and arose at midnight and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of the hill that is before Hebron. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you, Lord, for this time that we get to be with you, Lord. And I thank you for this church and this congregation and the opportunity that you placed in my life, Lord, to rise up to the season of associate pastor here with these good people. And I just ask you, Lord, that you help me, Lord, as I just open up to you, and I'll be that vessel, and you just use me as a tool. I don't want it to be me, Lord, but also at the same time, him with a ear in his house. Let him hear the word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. You may be seated. Thank you. Samson was in a big old mess here, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about him, but before I start preaching, I want to thank my wife. I've never been a pastor's wife, but I've never been one, by the way, but I could not imagine being one. The things that they had to go through, especially when they got the little ones and we're pulling them from place to place, and they got to deal with us. But I just thank my wife. She's always been in my corner. I know things ain't easy on her, but I do appreciate all the support that she gives me. She hears about the sermon way before y'all do, so she probably wakes up on Sunday morning and says, "Ain't no sense in me going." But I get so excited. I want to be able to share it with her as well. And we pray over it before I come minister, so. And also want to thank the pastor and his wife. Had a great time at men's conference this past week. A good time of fellowship. Man, I tell you what, fellowship, and you learn so much about the Lord and what God's doing. And you also have a lot of people that's praying for this church in the Congregational Holiness Church. They're really, really praying. They see the vision. They see what's going on here. and they're excited to see what God's going to do. So I'm thankful for that as well. Here, as we're looking at this scripture where Samson laid till midnight and then he got up at midnight, the Lord just laid this on my heart when I was praying this week. I said, Lord, this is going to be my first sermon as associate pastor. So I want something that's hot off the press. I want something that's a vision. I want something that I need to be casting vision into the church. I need something that when I preach, just as the pastor, I'm looking for vision. I'm looking to see out ahead of us, not behind us. I'm looking to see out ahead of us. And Monday night at the hotel room, when I was working, I stayed down in South Alabama, and I was praying in the hotel room, and God dropped in my spirit, first things first, let's deal with the midnight. The title of my message today is The Midnight Message. I'm going to preach a message titled The Midnight Message. Midnight can be a season, a rough and hard season. Also, the midnight hours should not be looked at as bad. Our midnight hours in the spiritual walk should be looked at as good, because when you're in the midnight, you get closer to God than you've ever been before. I've been closer to the Lord in my midnight hours, in my dark hours of my life, than I've ever been on the top of the worship, on the top of the praise. When I'm down in a deep, dark valley is when God speaks to me. In the worldly view, when we think about midnight, this is what we think about. We think about, you better not stay out past midnight. Daddy always says, son, if you stay out past midnight, you're going to be in bad trouble. And I said, why is that, Dad? He said, there's nothing open past midnight but bars and a Waffle House. So midnight in our worldly view has always been looked at as, oh, no, we don't need to be out past midnight. Husbands and wives, if you're out past midnight, then you're going to have to answer to your spouse. So why you been out past midnight for? Midnights can be viewed as a bad time, a hard time. Midnight is also a particular time. It's a particular time. It's the dividing wall between p.m. and a.m. Midnight can be such a difficult time. I used to go hunting at night. We was growing up big coon hunters, and we'd go out in the middle of the night. And I tell you, in the midnight hour was such a different hour. It was darker, colder, and you was looking for the a.m. So when you're in the midnight and you're in the dark, you're looking for the daylight. Mid means middle. Night means a period of darkness, a time when it's hard for us to see things. Can somebody help me preach there? In the midnight, it's hard for us to see things. I just went through a midnight hour myself when my job moved me so far from home. I called the pastor two or three times and I said, Pastor, I don't know what to do right now, because I can't see where I'm going. I can't see what's ahead of me. I'm in a dark hour. And he said, Brother Doug, you're in a season. And that's what the midnight hour is. The midnight is a season. It's a season of darkness. It's a time where we may get bad news from the doctor, and he may even send us home and say, there's nothing else we can do. That's a midnight hour in the Christian's life. We may be standing by the graveside of a loved one. That's a midnight hour. We may give our very best in church. We may show up every Sunday, and we may teach the Sunday school. We may help the pastor. We may clean the pews. We may do everything we possibly can. But the church, people in the church, may still come against you and pull you down and cause you to be a little depressed about coming to church. That can be a midnight hour in a Christian walk.
That's right.
And when there's more money going out, Brother Jerry, than coming in, and you're waiting on your food stamps, and you're thinking, Lord, why is it taking so long? The cabinets are getting low, and I don't know how I'm going to make it to next week. That can be the midnight hour in a Christian's life. And I believe right here in Rhema Worship Center, we're dealing with some folks here are dealing with the midnight hour. I believe there's some people here that's going through the midnight struggle. But you know what? I'm doing all I can today, Pastor, to keep my composure. I'm doing all I can to hold on to my dignity and not get too excited. But when I hear about Jesus, praise God, He can pull me out of the midnight hour. When I hear somebody preach about Jesus, when I hear somebody sing about Jesus, I can't help but to get excited about coming out of the midnight hour. No matter how bad it gets, no matter what the doctor says, I know I can still come out of the midnight hour. Praise God be to glory. No matter how hard my marriage may get, I still have Jesus, and He's still calling my name, and He's saying, brother, just come out of the midnight hour. And to start with here, let's look at Samson. Everybody wants to talk bad about Samson. All we ever heard growing up was he gave up the secret to his power, why God was anointing him with so much power to be the strongest man in the world and the strongest man in history, matter of fact. You can even look back in the history books. This man is known still today as the strongest man in history, all because of the power of God in his life. And that's what he was doing here in this midnight hour. He was demonstrating God's power. Hallelujah, and what God can do. People wants to look down on him, but he was a mighty man of valor. He was a mighty man that was put here on this earth to do one thing, and that was to be one big, bad, strong boy to kill Philistines. And he killed a bunch of them. Y'all can look in the Bible and you can study it for yourself. He was a much of a man. You talking about supernatural power like we was talking about this past weekend. When the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you, he had some supernatural power. And he was God's man, anointed to do God's work. But guess what? He was a man. Yeah. Just like us. He was a human being, and he had weaknesses, and he was dealing with some weaknesses right here. He came into Gaza and committed some terrible sins, and here he was in his midnight hour. And the Bible says here, what does it say? He laid there in the city just after committing a sin. He laid there in the city, and when the midnight hour comes up, understand, let me put this in Alabama talk this morning. He was smack dab in the middle of his mess. Anybody in here ever been smack dab in the middle of your mess? That's where Samson was. He was smack dab in the middle of his mess. And the Bible says here he laid until midnight. And all of a sudden, the power of God got a hold of him. And he came out there and grabbed hold of the gates of the city, broke the gates down and put them up on his shoulders. And he was demonstrating God's power. In your midnight hour, you can demonstrate God's power. And people will see that power in your life. There's somebody here today in Rhema Worship Center that needs to demonstrate God's power. Hallelujah. So people will see what God is doing in your life. And it will affect them in a mighty way. And change them in a mighty way, and they'll begin to be pulled by the Spirit of the Almighty God. The Bible says he took a 45-mile journey up to Hebron. So, other words, and it was a 3,000-foot steep mountain to go up there. 45 miles carrying those huge gates. And all those Philistines, the Gazan people, was watching him carry those gates up that mountain. Somebody's watching you carry some stuff. Somebody's watching you carry some stuff. And they're saying, what kind of power must they have to be carrying such loads in their life? It must be something supernatural. It must be something from another world. It must be something where? From heaven, Pastor. Seeing us carry things. Hallelujah. And the power of God showing out in your life.
Yeah.
I seen little Isaac. I seen Lacey's son here this morning. He was up here just praising with his hands up, saying, "Thank you, Lord." He'd look over at me, look at the pastor, and he's sitting there just praising the Lord. And then your grandson up here running around, hallelujah, praising God. They're seeing us carry some stuff up in here. They're saying, "My, what they got, I want. My, what they have, I need. My, mama smiling when things are bad. My, mama demonstrates that everything's okay. Even when we're sick, even when someone passes away, mama's still smiling." Praise God be to glory. Somebody is watching you demonstrate God's power in your life. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you real quick, and you've heard this sermon preached 1,000 times, or at least 200. Paul and Silas, in the midnight hour, there's three things in the midnight hour, and I just preached about one because Samson did it. Pastor, he got up. Yeah. We need some people to get up in their midnight hour and arise to the occasion. I didn't so much want to get up in my midnight hour and arise to the occasion, but God kept dealing with me, telling me, "Doug, you're in the midnight hour. You need to rise up to the occasion, because you know I called you to be associate pastor. You know I pulled you into this role. You know I brought you to Rhema Worship Center, but it's time for you to get up in your midnight hour."
Get up.
Glory be to God. That's the first thing. And then Paul and Silas teaches us the second thing. Hallelujah. In Acts 16 and 25. "And at midnight, Paul and Silas did what? Prayed." Hallelujah. They prayed and they sang songs of praises. Hallelujah. "Unto God. And the prisoners heard them." That's what I get. I'm not going to stay too long on worship today, but we're going to talk about people hearing you. But first, I'm going to talk about the second point, and that's prayers. Our pastor, our senior pastor, just preached a few weeks ago, "When the church prayed." Have you been praying? Have you been waking up and praying when everybody else is asleep? Have you been praying before you go to work? Have you been praying when you're at work? Praise God, right here they said, "When we got up in the midnight hour, we begin to pray."
Yeah.
What was it? Was it last Tuesday when all the phones cut off? I think it was Tuesday, wasn't it? And I don't know nothing about anybody in here, how you reacted, by the way, while I'm saying this. But I seen some people reacting like they didn't have a prayer life. People running down to AT&T. "My phone says SOS. Like AT&T retail store can do anything about it. They sell phones. They don't have anything to do with the infrastructure. I seen on the news where people was just in long lines at the AT&T store. SOS, I'm SOS. Pastor, when you see people act like that, you go, man, what kind of prayer life do they have? Are they have that much fear over a cell phone when the power goes off? Are you going to have that much fear when things, your normal life, starts shutting down around you? Or do you have a strong enough prayer life where you say, I know the Lord is in control. He's in control. I can care less if the phones are on or not. I can care less. It don't make no difference to me. As long as I have this word in my life and I'm praying, that means if I'm praying, I'm submitting. If I'm submitting, means I'm depending on Him every day, every second of the hour. I'm depending on the Lord. James 5 and 16 says this: "Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray one for another. You may be healed, that you may be healed. The prayers of the righteous person is powerful and effective." Ashley, can you tell them? You just raise your hand and say the prayers. Raise your hand. That's all I want you to do. Wave it. "The prayers of the righteous is effective." Praise God. The King James Version says, the effectual prayer, the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That means when we pray, something happens. We was with some good friends this weekend. Me and Pastor Anthony was with some good friends, and we got to talking about my daughter going through some struggles, and they said, let's pray right now. We stopped what we was doing. We was in the middle of a conversation in the living room. We stopped everything we was doing, and we began to pray for my daughter. And just a few minutes, my daughter called me, and she said, I feel something. Glory be to God. Our prayers are effective. Our prayers are powerful. She said, I feel something. Can I tell you today, when you depend on God and you rely on Him and you begin to pray, something happens in the midnight hour. I don't know about you, but when I pray, I want to know they're going past the ceiling. And I can't go all week long and just say, well, God, I guess you're just going to help us, just bless us when you can. I want to go all week long with the Word of God just pouring down on me and pouring into me and pouring out to me. And then I know, as my Scripture says, that my prayers will be effective. Yeah. If you have salvation today, then you're on the main line of righteousness. The Bible says our righteousness is as of filthy rags. But when Jesus called you, it's His righteousness. It's nothing we can do. Yeah. I can put on what I want to put on. I can put on the finest suit you've ever seen, go to the most religious church I've ever been on, all the way to the day I pass away, and that's not going to get me nowhere. What's going to get me somewhere is when I put faith in the One that paid it all at the cross. The crucifixion puts me in the role of the righteous. The crucifixion puts me in the role of the righteous. And there's people in my life that needs to be prayed for, and I need to get to praying. I got a 70-year-old daddy right now that's sick. I need to be praying. I got a church right here I need to be praying for. I got a pastor and his family that I need to be praying for. Can I tell you today, God has gave you the power to pray, and things happen and be effective in your life. Y'all need to get down and pray and believe that God will change things. Yes. In Ephesians 2, I preached a sermon in the prison not too long ago, and I titled it, Rejected But Now. And the point of the sermon was, yes, you are rejected to society, but now that you're in Christ, you are what? You're counted among the righteous. You're saved. You're not just a prisoner. You are God's child. You're a child of God. If you go to Ephesians 2, 12 and 13, when you get home, you can read this. The Bible says here, it was Paul teaching to the Gentiles. He was saying, used to, you was separated. Used to, you was disconnected. Used to, you had no hope. But the Scripture says it. You can read it for yourself. It says, but now. But now, can I do a victory lap on but now? Used to, I was separated. Used to, I had no hope. Used to, I was lost. Used to, I was drowning in my own sin. But now I'm saved. But now I'm blood bought. But now I'm washed clean. But now I got God. But now I can survive. But now I had the blood of Jesus in my life, and He paid the price. No matter how bad it used to be, no matter how dark it used to be, I got a but now in my life. And when to understand that we shouldn't be so defeated, we shouldn't be so depressed, we shouldn't be so beat down, because we have God. We have a but now in our life. Preston gets home at night, especially on a Sunday, and he says, just pray for me. Just pray for me. I think we need to get the devil out from around our table and start praying more. We did not leave so much room for him. We quit praying. We quit leaving room. We start leaving room for Satan when we quit praying. We leave room for him to come in and spend time with our children when we quit praying. The unsaved, they turn to drugs. Had a good friend of mine that committed suicide. The unsaved, Sister Tina, they turned to alcohol. They turned to drugs. They turned us to committing suicide. But we're among the saved. Totally different. Praise. And I'm not going to spend long on it. All I want to talk about praise is the prisoners heard the prayers. And what does the Bible say? All were loosed. During revival, I walked up to a couple that was sitting over here. And I said, "Where are you? Who are y'all? I've never met y'all before." And they said, "I don't know how I got here. I don't know why I'm here. I felt the pull." Y'all, I don't know if you remember them or not. I just felt the pull. The prayers. He heard the prayers for the Spirit. And it was pulled. Y'all have heard me say before, the first time I met Scotty Poole, I was pulled by the Spirit to the church. I've never been to that church before. They was having revival. And I passed the church and turned around, and it was about 10 o'clock at night. And they was having revival because I was pulled by the Spirit. Let me tell you, when people hears our praises, something gets loose. They're loosed. The prisoners heard the praises. They didn't go over there and unshackle them. They heard the praises. And when they heard the praises, the Bible says all of them were loosed. Can I tell you today that when you praise, it ain't just for you. It ain't just for the Lord. It's for the people that's out there that needs to be loosed. You want to see a church grow, begin to praise. And Sister Adina was telling us this past weekend, one of the biggest things that she noticed, what sticks out to her about Rhema Worship Center is the praise team. The praises. What are these praises doing? It's bringing people into this house. They heard the praise. Hallelujah. I wonder what Samson, I just wonder now, what Samson was saying when he reached down and grabbed a hold of them gates and they began to pick them up. I just wonder what he was saying. I wonder, was he saying, "Lord, let them see your power." Amen. I just wonder, Pastor, is that what he was saying? Let them see your mighty power. They was waiting out here to kill me. But in my midnight, I want them to see your power. There's devils out there right now that wants to kill you in your midnight. But God is saying, just show them my power. Just open up to me and let some power come down. Submit to me. Praise God. Let them see the power because I gave you authority over the enemy. Luke 10 and 19 says, Jesus said, "I gave you authority over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you." Right. James 4 and 7 says, "Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee." That, if something's running, that means he's scared. Are you demonstrating enough power in your life from God that even the devils are trembling? Even the devils are running. I've known Christians like that. I had a grandma, she'd pray all night long sometimes. Y'all know some people like that? They're fasting all the time. They're praying all the time. And the devil's running from them and running from their family. When you praise, hallelujah, you cause some loosening. And what I believe here, Pastor, and the reason why I believe God brought me to this sermon is because there's such a vision for Rhema. We're on the brink of something amazing. I believe in myself. I believe it's through outreach ministry and youth ministry. But some of us are staying in our midnight hour. We need to believe and understand through getting up, prayer, and praising that we can get out of our midnight hour. And the last thing I want to talk about before I close here. A lot of y'all don't know, but just before, when we was in the process of fostering my son Preston, we kept him for about a year, and they came and got them from us and carried them back and put them in a home. He was malnourished. He was so poor looking. And the grandparents promised that they was going to do all kinds of things to make things better for the kids. And so they came, Brother Jerry, and just ripped the baby out of my arms, the foster system did. They came back, the state come back and just ripped them out of our arms. Hardest thing we ever been through. And I looked at my wife one night. They kept them for about 3 days. I looked at my wife one night and I said, you know what? I've had enough. She said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going down there to where they're at. And I'm going to check on my baby. She said, we can't do that. They'll take us to jail. I said, get in the car. You got to remember, I was a little bit younger. This has been, what, 12 years ago now? Or 11 years ago? I was a lot younger and feistier then. And I said, Case, I said, get in the car. Let's go down here to where Preston is. And it was the midnight hour. I was trying my best to find a story to relate to this sermon. And I got to thinking about this. It was midnight when we went down there. And I was in my power truck. And I never told a lie, by the way. Yeah, it was a rough part of town. I never told a lie, but I called. As soon as I stepped out of the car, y'all, when I pulled into the neighborhood, 2 blocks away, you could hear the screams of Preston screaming to the top of his lungs. They was abusing him. And I pulled down. I said, Kay, what apartment you think they're in? She said, if you go down there, they're taking you to jail. So I got down close as I could find it, and I got out of my work truck and got on the phone and I called 911 and I said, this is what I told them. I contract for Alabama Power Company, because I did. And I'm in this neighborhood at so-and-so place, and there's a baby screaming to the top of his lungs like somebody's killing him. Could y'all please come check on him? And they came out there in the midnight hour and checked on my baby. Walked in there and checked on him. Come to find out they was force feeding him, because that's why they was taking him, because he couldn't build weight. He was so skinny. They was force feeding him. So they was just cramming food down his throat, and that's why he don't eat till this day. He just drinks formula. And I got to thinking about this sermon. I risked a lot, didn't I? I risked it all, really. I could have lost my job. I could have got put in jail. I could have a record now. I could be struggling because I was willing to go risk everything for Preston. Everything. I risked everything for his midnight hour. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ has done for you.
That's right.
He laid the ultimate price down. God sent his only begotten son to carry that cross up on the Calvary to rescue you out of your midnight hour.
Yes.
To rescue you out of your midnight hour. You may be going through some things in your marriage right now. You may be going through some things on your job. You may just be struggling at home financially. But just as I did, the Lord's saying, I still want to rescue you. I still want to rescue you. I still want to pull you out. Because you know what? There's so many people, and that's why I want you to make sure that other people in this church hears this sermon. Because we need some true deliverance out of our midnight hour in order to move forward with what God has in the future for Rhema Worship Center. And God's coming to you right now in your midnight hour. And He's saying, come out. Come out. Pray. Come out. Praise in your midnight hour.
Thanks for joining us for this week's sermon podcast from Rhema Worship Center. We hope that you've been inspired and challenged to grow in your faith. Come on out to our church in Odenville and join us for a Sunday service. You can find out more about what we're up to and listen to other sermons on our website, myremaworship.com.